one of the tools that modern advertising uses in order to strike a chord in us to get us to purchase what the companies are selling is jealousy. Advertising today is aimed at a powerful feeling or emotion inside us that is jealousy. It shows us pictures of people, successful people, driving beautiful cars, living in beautiful homes, using beautiful brand new John Deere tractors on their lawns, all this stuff that people have. And it goes deep inside us and stirs something inside us to make us want what they have. We want to be like them. We want those things. And thus, advertising strikes at that inner desire, that inner emotion inside us that causes us to be envious so that we'll go and buy their product. Webster, in his dictionary, defines jealousy or being jealous as resentfully envious. In other words, we envy what someone else has or something that's happened to someone else, so much so that we resent it. And that starts that journey towards what's going on in our text today. In the Bible, jealousy and the actions caused by jealousy are called coveting. And I think most of us will understand where we're coming from that angle. Jealousy is ill will over another's advantages or another's possessions or another's prosperity, whether it's a position, an employment, or what sits in their driveway or where they live, the way their house looks, the way they dress, or all kinds of things. When we have ill will over someone else's advantages or possessions or prosperity, we're jealous. The feeling of jealousy is not in and of itself a sin, but the actions as a result of jealousy are. In the Ten Commandments, God commands his people and still commands us today, as some say the Ten Commandments aren't relevant for us as Christians today because we live in the age of grace, but in all reality, they are. The Tenth Commandment is that we shall not covet thy neighbor's possessions. See. So in coveting, what that means is that we want it so much, we desire it so much that we act on it. And the actions as a result of jealousy not only eat us up, they cause harm to others, they create a culture of anger, a culture of hatred, and a culture of competition. We got to be better than the neighbors. We got to do this better than somebody else. We live in a neighborhood and the driveways are full of all kinds of new exotic cars. I got to have one better. I got to have a bigger truck. I have to have bigger tires or a badder paint job. When I say badder, I mean, you know, a better, more awesome paint job. Those kinds of things. Because if we don't, we're not going to fit in. Jealousy causes us to waste huge amounts of time that we could be spending on serving others and glorifying God rather than glorifying ourselves, because that's what jealousy really does. When we act on jealousy, we're acting on it because we want to glorify ourselves as a result. We also spend huge amounts of money because of jealousy. Money that we don't have, never will have, we can borrow because the bank tells us, sure, it's no problem, but in all reality, there's no hopes of ever really paying it back, you see. It causes us to waste huge amounts of energy. Our schedules are full because we got to do these things because the culture says we have to, and besides, the neighbor kids are doing it and all the rest of the kids are doing it, and I want my son or my daughter to be better at that sport than their kids are. And thus we put the stickers on the back of our cars, don't we? My child's an honor student. My child's this, my child's that. We're trying to make others jealous. That's what it's all about. Israel was jealous of other nations in 1 Samuel chapter 8. They wanted a king like the other nations. They wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted a king to lead them into battle and win the battles for them. But God had warned the people who wanted a king that a king would work against them to glorify himself. And that's just what was happening as the story continued. It tells us in our text today from 1 Samuel chapter 18 that Saul, whatever Saul sent David to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. I want you to kind of put that there on a post-it note. Saul gave David a high rank in the army because David did everything successful. He did it successfully because God was with him, as a reminder. It pleased all the people, the whole community, and it pleased Saul's officers as well. The problem was the only person that wasn't pleased was Saul. You see. So David's success was for the benefit of everyone, even Saul. It was for the benefit of the nation, best for everybody. Unfortunately, Saul was jealous. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out. They met King Saul with singing and dancing and joyful songs and tambourines and lutes. They danced and they sang, "Saul has slain thousands, David his tens of thousands." Gosh, surely Saul would have been happy with thousands, wouldn't he? But what happened here, as the people were celebrating, Saul was very angry. We see three principles happening here in this text. We see the resentful attitude of jealousy. We see the resentful action of jealousy. And we see the wrongful solution to jealousy. First of all, we see the attitude, seeking self-praise. Saul became sore over David's prosperity, over his victories, his fame, and his success, and it resulted in an angry attitude. Saul wanted all the glory. Saul was very angry. This refrain, that the songs that they were singing, galled him. In other words, he was very sore about it. They've credited David with tens of thousands, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So you see, it resulted in an angry attitude. Saul was keeping an eye of suspicion on David. The Young's literal translation says that this thing was evil in Saul's eyes. Now, how in the world was that evil in Saul's eyes? The praising of the people, that Saul had killed thousands and David tens of thousands, and they were celebrating for the nation. The nation was victorious. How in the world could Saul see this as evil? His heart was jealous. He wanted the glory and the credit for himself. He wanted to be the one who was praised. So, we see the resentful actions. This jealousy stirred his heart and caused him to act. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. I'm going to stop there because the writer says, the next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. Now, again, understand that God does not send an evil spirit to someone. Okay? God allows these things to happen. And if you read the ancient text, you understand that in some of them it refers to an injurious spirit God allowed to come upon Saul. Again, we know that God is sovereign, that nothing like this happens unless God allows it. And secondly, we understand that God allows it for a purpose. And the purpose of this thing coming on Saul was that in the Hebrew understanding of this, it was a spirit of evil to injure Saul, whose mission was judgment. In other words, Saul had an injurious spirit about him. He was unsettled, see? And God allowed him to be unsettled at this time. And that unsettled spirit in Saul caused him to be prophesying. Now, prophesying takes many forms. That's a sermon for another day. But Saul was in his quarters, in his house. And he had this troubled spirit. And David, again, came to play the harp, to calm him. See. And as David was playing the harp, Saul had this spear in his hand. Now remember, he's troubled in spirit. So what does he do? He hurls this spear at David, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him. Twice this happened. So what was going on was jealousy was being played out. Saul's spirit was unsettled because of something that was taking place that really, by God's providence, was good. But Saul saw it as evil because he was not getting the glory. And jealousy was played out. And Saul was overcome, acted out his anger, and caused him to act in a way that was not glorifying to God. Lastly, we see the wrongful solution to jealousy. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. And everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. But Saul, when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of David. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaign. Now, what I'm saying here is the wrongful solution. Jealousy created a mindset of fear in Saul. Secondly, jealousy caused Saul to go against God's plan for David. Jealousy caused Saul to go against God's plan for David. I want to stop here because for a second, because God's plan for David was to become king, right? So God was prospering David, causing David to be so successful in these military campaigns that his people would respect him and their enemies would fear him. David was exactly where God wanted him to be. That was God's plan for his life. But jealousy caused Saul to have this troubled spirit and to go against God's plan for David and try and kill David. That was God's plan for David. Had Saul accepted it, the whole scenario would have turned around. Now, I want you to think about something here this morning. I wrote in my notes here, have you ever thought that it might be God's plan for somebody else to prosper? You can't be me and I can't be you. That's not God's plan. God created you individually to be who you are, to have what you have, to live where you live, to do what you do. So that when you start looking around you at the neighbors, and think, I got to be like them. This is what the culture says. This is what my neighborhood says. I got to be like them. Stop for a moment and think, you never will be like them. Because that's not God's plan for your life. You will be like you, not them. And they won't be like you. They'll be like them. See, that's what stirs up jealousy. We get these misconceptions that we all need to be the same, in the same box. We all need to have the same prosperity. So what if your neighbor's got $1 million and you've only got 25? So what? That's God's will for your lives. And again, another sermon for another day is God gives that person those prosperity things, those prosperous things, asking them to share them with those who don't have them. And when they don't, but they keep them for themselves, that's another sermon for another day. You see, you understand what I'm saying here? Because the man that has much is supposed to share with the man that doesn't have much at all. That goes all the way back to the wilderness wanderings when they were gathering manna. Nobody had too much, nobody had too little because they shared. That was God's plan for his people and for the world. See? So jealousy caused Saul to go against God's plan for David. And he tried to kill him. And Saul's solution was to slander David by demoting him in rank. It said earlier that Saul had given him a high rank in the army. Now, this was a demotion, believe it or not, that Saul gave him command over 1,000 men. That was a demotion. When you study the way the military worked out in that time, Saul thought, well, I'll get rid of him. I'll get him out of sight, out of mind, and I'll give him something to do to keep him occupied, but it's not what he was. I'll demote him so that I'll just be higher than him, you see. So the resentful attitude of jealousy, seeking self-praise, causes the resentful action of jealousy, going against God's will for the person's own glory, resulting in wrongful actions, trying to kill them or get rid of them so that we can seem better. Everyone loved David. Saul saw how successful David was. And if Saul would have stopped for a moment and said, well, you know, if this is God's will that David be king and not me, I accept that. And I'm going to support David and I'm going to help David as much as I can. But he didn't. He fought against David because he was jealous. He fought against God because he was jealous. And this jealousy caused anger, and that anger caused him to act in a way contrary to God's will. I looked through these past chapters, in fact, just this morning, because I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling with this story a little bit. Why King Saul was having so much trouble? Because when you know the rest of the story and what happens with King David, you know that King David had his issues too. And first and foremost, I found out that in the NIV, in the New International Version of the Bible, God never verbally says that Saul will be king. He says, this is the man I've chosen to lead my people against the Philistines. Yeah, we think, well, that would have been king. But it does not say that. And you say, well, you're picking here. You're drawing a fine line and you're really nitpicking here. Maybe so, but it does not say that God chose Saul to be king. And the second thing that took place was, as time went on, Saul started turning to himself rather than God to solve the issues and the problems as they came up against the Philistines. You see. And Saul did it because he wanted the glory for himself. In fact, when you look at the past texts that we've been talking about, it was the people who wanted the king and the people who wanted Saul to be king because he was such an awesome, strong-looking guy. And God allowed Samuel to go to him and anoint him as the person to lead his people. But I did not find where God ever says that Saul is the king. So all in all, God's plan from the beginning was that David would become king and be Israel's greatest king. But in the meantime, Saul becomes jealous of that plan. When one becomes jealous, they become envious of others and sensitive to what others are saying about them and what others are doing. The envy turns to jealousy and anger and eventually hate, and it's often carried out in sinful ways. I've had friends who have gone and bought a really nice truck, not a brand new one, but a really nice one with the nice big tires and the nice wheels, and it sounds nice when they start it up. And lo and behold, when they went to work, there was jealousy among the coworkers to the point somebody scratched the sides of it up very badly. You see, it eats away at us. And our culture today doesn't help us to deal with it. In fact, our culture feeds off of the enemy's weapon of jealousy. Because the enemy can get us all jealous along the way. The first thing you know, we're backbiting, we're bitter, we're angry. You see, we might be angry at them, and we might be angry at God, because God, why didn't you do this for me? You did it for them. They don't deserve it. I do. Well, that there again, there's another sermon for another day. That's not up to us, you see. That isn't up to us. That's up to God. Saul was actually wasting his time because God's mind was made up and the evidence was overwhelming that God wanted not only David, but also the nation to prosper. And had Saul humbled himself, he too would have been part of that prosperity along with David and the whole nation. If Saul just simply would have humbled himself and said, well, if this is the way it's going to be, I'm okay with it. And God, how do you want me to fit in? See. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. If you read the rest of 1 Samuel, you'll find out that things didn't go well for Saul. He eventually ran himself through with his own sword, believe it or not. He was a man that was tormented inside because he was unhappy with what was going on in the nation. And he wasn't willing to obey God. Jesus said in Luke 18, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What a shame. What a shame that Saul could not be happy for David in the first place. But instead, he took matters into his own hands because he was jealous that someone else had something that he didn't. Oftentimes, people will come to me and they'll show me something new that they've gotten, or they'll tell me a story about something great that's happened. And it's really refreshing when you uplift someone and are happy for them that they've prospered or that God has prospered them in some way. But oh boy, don't tell a deer story in this valley, I'll tell you, because everybody's got a bigger one. You know what I'm saying? And I've been there when those big ones have been shot, and you know, I was elated for the young fellows that shot them. Because that's a memory that God's given them and a blessing in their life. So we need to be happy for others when they prosper, not jealous. Because their life is their life, and their prosperity is up to God, not us. And our prosperity is up to God, not us. What did Paul say that he learned to be content in every situation? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being happy with what we have, happy where we are, happy with what God's given us, and not jealous. And certainly not letting the culture stir that up in us. When we see the people on television sliding those SUVs sideways and all these pretty girls that are drinking certain kinds of beer, and everybody at those parties is nice and slender and good looking, aren't they? No, folks, that's a lie. That's not the way life is. It's not the way it is. The enemy's trying to get us to be jealous and stir our hearts. Lord, may we learn from your word to be happy for others, content with our lives, and to use our time and our money wisely for the glory of your kingdom. In Christ's name.